Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Nadia Shamsuddin, and I enjoy meeting with you every morning, so welcome to the program. Today I want to talk with you about Christianity being under threat in the Middle East, and I'm going to specifically talk about what's going on in Lebanon. I'm going to give you a little bit of history of Lebanon and the region, and also mention a couple of things about Israel and their policy against anyone proselytizing within their country. I wanted to first mention the interview on 60 Minutes of George Pirro, the FBI agent, who is now coming out and talking about his long stint with Saddam Hussein and the fact that he lived with him for many months, that leading up to the time when Saddam Hussein was hanged. George Pirro came to this country when he was very young. His parents are Lebanese, and which is why he was recruited by the FBI. He had only been working for the FBI about 5 months when they sent him to Iraq to try and extract information from Saddam Hussein, and particularly about the weapons of mass destruction. And so anyway, I didn't know if many of you had chance to catch that interview. I'm sure it's posted on the internet. If you'd like to go in and take a look at it, I think it would be very interesting for you. He talked about one sort of small human interest aspect of it. He talked about Saddam Hussein's birthday and that it had traditionally been a national holiday, but in that year, no one celebrated it. And so George Pirro's mother sent him cookies that she had baked, and he gave them to Saddam Hussein in celebration for his birthday. He said that Hussein had written a lot of poetry, which was very bad, that he couldn't stomach, but that in his final days, in his final hours, he showed absolutely no remorse for anything that he had ever done, and particularly he was referring to the mass killing of the Kurds in Iraq. So it's a mixed bag interview. Some of it is kind of nonsensical, but the essence of it was that Pirro said that the issue of nuclear weapons was something that Saddam Hussein wanted to keep alive so that his enemy, Iran, would stay away from him. He was still very much afraid of the power of Iran, and that whatever weapons of mass destruction he may have had were destroyed by the UN inspectors that had been there. So, you know, you get to the point where you hear all this, you don't know quite what to believe. A couple other things I wanted to mention. The American woman who was nabbed in Afghanistan. Afghanistan, she's an American teaching English, also working for an NGO, doing some humanitarian work, and she was nabbed, she and her driver. No one is claiming responsibility, and no statement has been issued formally, publicly, about the demands for her release. So before we go to the break, I just wanted to get back to the main thing that I wanted to talk about today, which is what's going on in Lebanon. I have a sense that between the violence in Lebanon right now and in Gaza, that things are really heating up in that region, and it's something that we need to keep a close watch on for a number of reasons, and I'll share that with you when we come back from the break. Stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say, go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue, they starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, a renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
And welcome back. Yesterday I got a couple of calls from new listeners, so I want to welcome everyone who's just tuning in for the first time. Welcome to the program. Thanks for listening, and I will be taking your calls today. Our number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Well, before I get into a little bit of the history of Lebanon, I wanted to bring you a couple of news items that have come out in the last couple of days. Reuters is reporting that 8 Lebanese opposition supporters were shot dead in Beirut on Sunday in some of the worst street violence since Lebanon's civil war, raising tensions in a country gripped by political conflict. A senior opposition source said all the dead were members of Hezbollah or Amal, Shiite Muslim groups that have been locked in a power struggle with the anti-Damascus governing coalition for more than a year. At least 29 more people were wounded. The violence spiraled out of control after an Amal activist was shot dead when the army moved to break in and protest over power cuts. Now, they've been rationing electricity, and I'll go into that pardon me, a little bit, especially when we talk about the things that have happened since Israel bombarded Lebanon a couple of years ago in 06. Most of the dead men were activists. They were all men killed in the same area, but it was not clear at that time who was responsible for the shooting. The army said it would be investigating the shooting. Prime Minister Fuad Senhora urged calm and declared Monday a day of mourning. So schools and universities were closed. He said, quote, "In these moments, our country is passing through its most difficult and dangerous times. What we have built during the past few years is in danger of crumbling." And today, Reuters was reporting that Hezbollah is critical of Lebanon and the army over the shootings. Lebanon's powerful Hezbollah group said on Tuesday the army had mishandled a protest that turned deadly and demanded that those responsible for the death of six opposition supporters be punished quickly. Hezbollah, which is backed by Syria and Iran, has for many years seen the army as a close ally in its conflict with Israel. But the killings and subsequent criticism appear to have seriously dented the group's trust in the military. Some analysts say Hezbollah's harsh criticism of the army could deal a blow to Army Commander General Michel Suleiman's chances of becoming president. It could also weaken the army itself, paving the way for more street violence. Sunday's street violence sparked after demonstrators burned tires and blocked roads in a mainly Shiite Muslim suburb of Beirut to protest against electricity cuts, with some of the worst of the Lebanese capital has seen since the civil war, which lasted from 1975 to 1990. Six supporters of Hezbollah and Shiite were shot dead and more than 20 wounded. Witnesses said soldiers had fired to break up the protest. Army Chief Suleiman, who is also a presidential nominee, and I'll get into that because they've been having, for the last several months, continuous delays in naming a president. He's under the Army Chief Suleiman, who is a Maronite Christian, is under pressure to identify those behind the violence, the worst since pro-government supporters and opposition followers clashed in Beirut just 1 year ago. He hinted that an army officer may have had a role in inflaming the violence and accused the army of heavy-handedness. Well, you know, it doesn't take much when tensions are high and there's a lot of hostility in the air. It doesn't take much to ignite more violence. Now, a formal investigation into the shooting has been launched, and Suleiman met opposition leader, Parliament Speaker Nebi Berri, and Hezbollah leader Syed Hassan Nasrallah. I just want to give you a little bit of background about Hezbollah. They were created after the invasion into Lebanon during the Civil War 1983 of Israel. Hezbollah in Arabic means the party of God. So it's a Shiite Muslim religious militant sect that was formed as a resistance. The Israeli occupation in the south, and this is something that so many in the West did not understand at that time, there was a UN resolution issued for Israel to pull out of South Lebanon. Israel had been occupying for a very long time sovereign land in the south. Their defense, Israel's defense, was that they had to protect its border because there had been so many clashes going across the border from Israel into Lebanon and back and forth. And what happened in 2006 with the war that broke out there after Hezbollah nabbed a couple of soldiers, Israeli soldiers, and they said they wanted to do a prisoner exchange. And, of course, Israel said no. And that's when the bombing started, and there were a million displaced people in the south, and to this day, cluster bombs that Israel planted in the south are still being detonated randomly. Many children are being maimed and killed as a result of these cluster bombs. I don't know if many of you had remembered that from the last year or two in the news, that Israel had planted an excessive number of these cluster bombs in the south when they pulled out. But, you know, what's really at issue in part of this is Israel's expansionist ideals. They have lusted after the water of the Litani River for a long time. Israel, the issue of water in the Middle East, you will see increasingly become an issue that's going to be very, very highly politicized. It is now and will continue to be. But Israel has wanted and probably has had military contingency plans in place for a very long time to move in and reoccupy Lebanon. And it's my estimation, unfortunately, when I look at what's going on in Beirut, they cannot agree on naming a president. And according to the Constitution, which breaks up and distributes power among a various number of confessionaries, Shiite Muslim, Sunni Muslim, Maronite Christian, and Druze, which is a kind of a obscure offshoot of Islam, the Constitution is now no longer serving the people because of a demographic shift that occurred in Lebanon during and after the Civil War. So Israel has for a long time had plans and an interest for wider expansion of its borders. It is not content with where they are. Anyone who has studied the issue and studied the political and philosophical agenda of those who founded Israel, they're not going to be content with remaining within the borders where they are, and they have had their sights on Lebanon for a long time, and especially the water resources contained in Lebanon. So this is what's really driving a lot of the issues when it comes to the conflict between Israel and Lebanon. But unfortunately, Hezbollah gained seats in the Lebanese parliament. So a couple of years ago, during the war in 06, there were calls for Fawad Senora, the prime minister, to disband and disarm Hezbollah. But there were many who said if he attempts to do that, then it will spark yet another civil war, and that's something we don't want. There had been a relative calm up till that time. Rafiq Hariri, who was a Lebanese prime minister who had made billions of dollars in Saudi Arabia, had come back to Lebanon, become the prime minister, and was rebuilding the country. He had a lot of critics, but he had done more to restore Lebanon than any other leader since the post-Civil War reconstruction era. And, of course, he was assassinated, as you remember, on February 14th, 2005. And to this day, there are continued efforts to investigate his assassination with nothing quite conclusive. In fact, one of the people that was killed on Sunday, pardon me, was one of the chief investigators into that assassination. So there are powers that be in the region that do not want the truth to come out about the investigation of who assassinated Hariri. And it was interesting that during the bombing raids from Israeli jets in 06, people came out of their houses and looked at these craters in the streets and said, "Wow, that's interesting. That's the size of the crater that was created by the explosion in Prime Minister Hariri's motorcade." So now people are beginning to think maybe it wasn't an explosion that murdered the prime minister. Maybe, in fact, it was a missile by an Israeli air raid. There's so many complexities in this. I'm going to help try and sort it out for you. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you a little bit of history of Lebanon, which is primarily Christian, which surprises a lot of Americans to realize that there actually was a Christian presence in the Middle East, a very strong one. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Welcome. Staying with us. I had a quick word that I wanted to bring you from one of our sponsors, from Freeze Dry Guy. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Well, keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or your car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. There has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy of long storing foods and preparedness supplies. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That number again, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy pays the freight within the lower 48 states, and when calling, be sure to mention that you heard about them on RBN. All righty then. And I had a caller who has asked that we announce again about a Ron Paul meetup group for Monday, February 4th. That's 1 week from yesterday in Parsons, Tennessee. They will be meeting at Granny's Kitchen Restaurant, and you should call Cheyenne at 731-963-2933. That number again, 731-967-2933 for the Ron Paul Meetup Group. And for all of you listeners out there who have never visited the website, you can go to meetup.com. It's an interesting website that connects people with different interests. And in the search field, just put Ron Paul, and then you can search for the area that you're in, and you can join a group and get involved in the Ron Paul phenomenon, is what I call it. It'll be interesting to see what's going to take place next week with the Super Tuesday, 22 states. Got Ron Paul's email last night saying he's very optimistic, as am I. And, you know, I may have mentioned this yesterday. What's interesting is the amount of support that he's been able to mobilize and the money he's been able to raise. So we should see a correlation between the number of votes and the amount of money he's been able to raise, because so far what they've reported has been relatively disproportionate. So just want to throw that in. Meetup.com, interesting website. Get involved. Make your voice heard. That's part of our, I almost said part of our dying democratic process. I don't want to say that. That sounds negative. But it's part of our democratic process. So be sure to get involved. Do what you can. He is the only man in the race that any thinking American can support. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. All right. Before the break, I was talking to you about what's been going on in Lebanon briefly. It's a very complex issue. Lebanon historically has not had autonomy for a long period of time. Its earliest history was inhabited by the Phoenicians. Archaeologists also call them the Sea People. Their origin is still a bit of a mystery, but they are known to have been the first to develop maritime trade, building ships and traveling great distances from their own shores to develop commerce with distant empires. The Phoenicians developed the purple dye trade. They would go offshore, drop a line, and harvest thousands of tiny mollusk shells that produced a single drop of the purple dye. It took so many thousands of these small shells to produce one drop of the dye, which is why purple became the color of royalty and the color of kings in the Middle East and in biblical times. The Phoenicians are also thought by many to be the first converts of Christianity after the Jews. So they're considered the first who received the gospel and established churches after several of the Jews were converted. And in Matthew 15, it tells the story of a Canaanite woman who approached Jesus. Her daughter was ill, and she was asking him to come and heal her daughter. And he was walking along the coast of the ancient cities of Tyre and Sidon, which are now in Lebanon. Eventually, Lebanon was later ruled under the Romans, and Aramaic replaced Phoenician as the main language. By the 4th century, Christianity was firmly established. During the early years of the Christian era, when theological differences created a lot of various sects that broke away from the main church, Lebanon became a refuge for religious minorities who were fleeing persecution. Lebanon went on to be ruled by the Umayyads, the Mamluks, and the Ottoman Turks. Now, these were all separate empires, but they were all Muslims. They were all invoking Islam in the country. We're going to take another break, and we'll get back. I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call, 800-313-9443. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back to the program. Before the break, I've been giving you, it may be a little dry. I hope you'll hang in there with me because there's a method to the madness here. I wanted to give you a little bit of the historical backdrop of Lebanon because it's leading up to what I want to talk about in terms of Christianity shrinking in the land of Christ. I was talking about the different groups, the different Muslim groups, the Umayyads, Mamluks, and the Ottoman Turks. Sounds like a wild bunch, and they were. In fact, the Mamluks were a Mongolian race of people who had been slaves in Egypt, and they overthrew their oppressors and became rulers themselves. They actually have a very interesting history. But although Lebanon's earliest history was pagan and Christian, for many years it also became infused with the Islamic faith. Lebanon as a sovereign nation was created when the ruling French powers expanded the borders of the district known as the Maronite Christian Ottoman Mount Lebanon. So we were under the Ottoman rule for about 400 years, and then the French came in and colonized the area. It was called Greater Syria at that time, and then they created a what was called the French Mandate. Now, part of the motivation for this, for the French doing this, Maronite being a sect of Catholicism, named after a patron saint called Maron, which is pretty much contained within Syria and Lebanon, that didn't grow outside of that region. But they could see the increase in Islamic influence in that area. And so the French Catholics wanted to preserve that. They wanted to create a state that had the assurance of some autonomy and rule by Christian leaders. So it was, as I said, it had been considered part of Syria, which is likely now why Syria has never completely let go of its political interest in Lebanon. But in 1926, France formed the Republic of Lebanon, and then in it was colonized by the French until 1943 when France released Lebanon to rule itself. So after centuries of foreign powers ruling the area that was called Mount Lebanon, Lebanon finally gained its sovereign independence as a nation. And because there were so many different religious sects, the Constitution of Lebanon was created based on representation of the many religious sects that were to be represented in government. While it may have seemed like a good idea at the time to give fair distribution of power to the different confessionaries, I believe, as do many others, that the Constitution does not seem to be serving now as a sound platform for government. To give you an example, the president must be a Maronite Christian, the Speaker of the House has to be a Shiite Muslim, and the Prime Minister must be a Sunni Muslim. So anytime you have a system that predicates rule from different sects or different religious persuasions, unless there's a lot of stability in the country, you're going to have problems. Now, tourism, agriculture, and banking were what built the economy in Lebanon. Lebanon was often called the Paris of the Middle East, and it was a banking center for that region. Former ABC correspondent Peter Jennings actually lived in Lebanon for a number of years. He loved it, married a Lebanese woman. He was bureau chief there for years. And because I think it had been colonized by the French, there was a lot of European sophistication there. Well, there still is. But there has been a shift. The Civil War broke out in 1975, and for about 14 years, which nobody expected it to last that long. And it was complicated by the interests of Syria, who sent troops, and when they were finally removed a couple of years ago, they totaled about 60,000 troops that had stayed in Lebanon from Syria. But there had been, in the early and mid-1800s, in Lebanon primarily a predominantly Christian percentage of the population. But because of the Civil War, which lasted almost 15 years, there was a brain drain from Lebanon, and many of the people migrated to Canada, Central and South America, the United States, and Europe. And generally, in a situation like that, where you have mass migration, when there's conflict and people leave, it's generally the better educated, the most highly literate of the population that leaves. So they experienced a significant brain drain, which has been very, very devastating. It created a major demographic shift. So at one time you had about 80% Christian in Lebanon, and now the estimates are less than 30%. There are concerns that Hezbollah is now gaining more power. After the war in 05, it was championed as the victor in that conflict. I don't agree, but they ruined the country. The Israelis came in, as they always do, with disproportionate reprisals. We've seen that in the West Bank for decades now. One little kid will throw a stone, and then, you know, they're retaliated by live ammunition. That's the only style that the Israelis know how to deal with other people, is with a very, very heavy hand. But there are concerns by many in and out of Lebanon that Hezbollah wants to create Sharia law and have it in place in Lebanon. And this is one of, this is what I was leading up to, is one of the most frightening things. Lebanon is the only country in the Middle East, or I should say it's the leading country in the Middle East, that is hospitable to missionaries and missionary activity, but as well as being a country where missionaries are based and they go out of the region and disseminating the gospel, disseminating Christian theology in the region. Now, some people might become offended at the argument, well, you know, we're fighting against Islam in theory because it harkens back to the days of the wars over Jerusalem and the Crusaders. What the Crusaders did has left a tremendous mark, a tremendous negative mark on history in that region. And in fact, one little tidbit comes to mind is about the evil eye. I don't know if you've ever seen Arabs wear a little amulet that's a little blue eye, but the whole idea about around the folklore of that is that it staves off the evil eye, which were the Crusaders, blue eyes. But there's been a tremendous psychological incursion into the minds of the people in the Middle East that happened from that time forward. So what I'm talking about, though, is not a militant movement among Christians. It has nothing to do with anything beyond what genuine Christians believe is the mandate in Scripture to disseminate the gospel, to go into all nations and make disciples of all men. Lebanon, to this day, has the most freedom of any country to be able to do that. And then the other one might be Jordan. There is a little bit going on there in terms of missionaries having freedom and para-church organizations having the freedom to come and go, but it's beginning to clamp down. Syria, I was there several years ago visiting a friend who is Syrian, working in missionary efforts there, and as we were walking, going down the street, he cautioned me to keep my voice down. And he said, you know, the Mukhabarat, which is the secret police, and within the secret police, they have the religious police. So they go about listening for even the most seemingly benign conversations on the street where they can pick up on anybody that might be a threat to Islam. And this is the concern that many people have about what's going on in Lebanon, is that as the government has a lack of ability to come to a resolve to appoint a president, which has been one of the key issues here, they can't agree on it. They passed some legislation which nobody fully adopted because a few weeks ago about wanting to put the head of the army as a president. So, you know, that scenario is kind of scary. Sounds like something out of South America or in Africa. But if you have a country that has not had political autonomy for a long period of time, in the case of Lebanon, and you have, and they're, you know, the Lebanese complain that they're in a bad neighborhood. They say, look at our neighbors. We have them, Syria to the north and Israel to the south, and it makes it very difficult for them. A lot of people, including me, feel like Lebanon is sitting and waiting to be devoured by the vultures of Syria and Israel. And to this day, there has been no conclusion to the assassination of Hariri, who was behind it. Some theorize that it was Syria. Some theorize that it was the Mossad. I don't think we'll ever know. It's very complex. And as in with any criminal investigation, the farther and farther you move away from the event, the more the memories of witnesses becomes clouded, the further you move away from the possibility of gaining evidence. And now it's been several years and we still know nothing. The man who was killed the other day, as I mentioned earlier, was one of the chief investigators into the number of assassinations. That hasn't been just Hariri. There have been a number after him, including a number of journalists who were very vocal against Syria, against the presence of Syria in Lebanon. So essentially, the Lebanese want full autonomy, and they don't feel like they've ever had that. Even though there's been a constitution, even though they've had governments that have been somewhat successful in moving the country through a period of reconstruction and relative peace, there has never been that sense of complete autonomy without having the intrigue of Syria and Israel involved in the internal politics of the country. So this is basically, everything I said today is basically leading up to this key concern about the proliferation of Islam in Lebanon and what it would do. If Sharia law is imposed in Lebanon, it will create more instability in the region because you have a significant population of people. Even though it's less than 30% Christian now, I recently had a conversation with a woman from a prominent Shiite family, and she says she hates Hezbollah. She cannot stand what they're doing. They are ruining the country. So Hezbollah is not enjoying the support that they want everyone to think that they have, even from their own community, even from the Shiite Muslim community. And there are rival factions even within Hezbollah. So whenever you have division like this and the government cannot come to a consensus about its leadership because the elections for the president have been delayed for months now, I believe that Lebanon essentially is giving its enemies what they want. Israel and Syria are watching. They're involved, I'm sure, in the continuation of the conflict and the lack of resolve in the government. And they're giving the enemies what they want. And what Lebanon needs is someone who can unite Lebanon under the banner of being Lebanese, Shiite Muslim or Sunni Muslim or Maronite or Druze, but to unite the country under the single banner of being Lebanese. And this is their key problem. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. There have been strong concerns in my family about the fate of Lebanon and what is going to happen there. But if it does fall into a stronger hold under Hezbollah, if Hezbollah continues to gain more seats in parliament, which it already has, and if they institute Sharia law, this will be the one move that creates the greatest instability in that region I think we've seen for a long time. I would still love to hear from you if you have any comments about this or comments about the dissemination of the gospel in that region, if anyone has been there or has had exposure to that issue. I'd love to hear from you. My number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. 443. And I wanted to just go back to a little bit more of conclusion of the history there. After the Taif Accord, which ended hostilities in 1990 of the Civil War, reconstruction of the country's infrastructure began in earnest. Now, the Lebanese government obtained a number of large, significant loans from Arab countries and also from the UN to reconstruct primarily roads, bridges, schools, hospitals. But unfortunately, so much of that reconstruction was destroyed within a matter of weeks by the heavy-handed retaliation of the Israelis. They exacted the most devastating destruction during the Civil War from its invasion of Lebanon by carrying out heavy air bombing raids. During the Civil War, militias had formed and were led by various religious leaders from the Sunni, Shiite, Druze, and the Christian communities. But since the end of the war, those former militia leaders have now been vying for power in the government. So it was kind of a bizarre situation where you have all these guys that were heads of all these factional militia groups during the Civil War, all killing each other. And then suddenly they lay down their arms and they say, okay, we're all going to have a government together and get along. And it's just been a very bizarre scenario to watch. On the one hand, it's very optimistic. On the other hand, it's suspect because everyone still has the agenda. But the most devastating event in Lebanon's history since the Civil War was the assassination of Prime Minister Rafik Hariri. He was a Lebanese that had gone to Saudi Arabia and made billions of dollars during the construction boom there. He had won favor with the king, who awarded him a number of huge construction projects, and he became a billionaire within just a couple of short decades. He came back to Lebanon, was elected prime minister, and a lot of people looked at him as the, oh, the one who would be at the helm of rebuilding Lebanon, not just physically, but someone who could unite the country and create policies and administer policies that would sustain Lebanon regardless of the regional conflicts that it's surrounded with. But eventually, Hariri became more and more bold in his vocal opposition to Syria. And in fact, when he was assassinated, he had just recently resigned. He was not still in power. And I wonder sometimes if he left office so that he could be a little more vocal about his opposition against Syria being involved in Lebanese politics. Well, we're going to take another break. I'd still love to hear from you. We've got one more segment, 800-313-9443. Otherwise, if you're content with hearing me pontificate about what's going on in Lebanon, I'm happy to continue doing that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
And welcome back. Thanks for listening. I've been talking about what's going on in Lebanon to give you a background on the concern about the institution of Sharia law, God forbid, that many are concerned that may acquiesce. I wanted to just give you a little program note. Tomorrow I will be interviewing Jerome Corsi. He'll be my guest and talking about the North American Union And then Thursday, I'll be talking with Operation Mobilization's founder. That's OM. It's one of the largest international Christian missionary organizations, as well as humanitarian relief. They own a number of ships, and they do quite a bit of humanitarian work around the globe. And that's George Berwer on Thursday. So tomorrow, tune in for Jerome Corsi, and Thursday for George Berwer. Well, I just want to wrap it up a little bit. I know I've thrown a lot at you today, and it's a very complex situation in that region, as well as just isolated in Lebanon. Whenever you have a number of differing religious sects, I think eventually you can anticipate having some conflict. Now, for a long time, the Christians and the Muslims coexisted without many problems. Now, there was a time when the Druze and the Christians, and the Druze are a very bizarre minority offshoot of Islam. In fact, many of them are, there are many Druze Arab Israelis, let me get that right, Arab Israeli Druze, who are serving in the Israeli army. And they historically have align themselves with whatever dominant power there was so that they could survive. It's a very, very strange sect of Islam. They believe in reincarnation and a lot of very secret things. But anytime you have a mix of confessionaries, as has been historically in Lebanon, eventually, I suppose you have to say that it's bound to have some conflict if eventually one wants to win over the other. And with Hezbollah, which is very militant, they're supported by Iran. Money has been pouring into Hezbollah for a long time from Iran and from Syria, but more from Iran. I heard reports years ago when I was working there as a journalist that the Iranians were paying money to Muslim women in the south of Lebanon to wear the abaya, the black covering and the veil. And the purpose of this was to give the appearance of being pious so as to create the illusion that Islam was growing stronger, that people were complying with some of the elements contained within Sharia law, which is women covering up completely, which, by the way, is not in the Quran. This is something that predates Islam in Arab culture. But it's things like that that have been going on behind the scenes that you don't hear a lot of people talk about. There is not as much piety as a lot of people would like to think. Some of it is feigned in order to gain more political power. But they did, the Hezbollah did enjoy for a short time a significant surge in popularity in the south. The money from Iran has financed a lot of social programs that the government did not have the money for. They were too busy reconstructing the country. But I appreciate your listening today. We're running out of time. This is a subject I could go on and talk about because I think it's an important one to watch. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. My guest will be Jerome Corsi. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to talk about the North American Union. Be sure and stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network. You have a great day.
With recent international flight